Hi, and welcome to The Literary Sipper. My name's Amber Vitti Hill, your host, and today we are going to be talking about to burn or not to burn, what to do with all of those journals and scraps of paper and notebooks filled to the brim with ideas and daily thoughts and artist pages and morning pages and whatever you want to call them. You have tons of them. You have boxes of them. They might be sketchbooks for you. They don't have to be journals. But this is a huge question and one that comes up over and over again. And the truth is, I'm of two minds, to burn or not to burn. That is the question. I ran a workshop last week on creativity and yoga practice. And one of the questions at the end was this very question. And I had already written this episode. So I feel like when you reach a certain age and you're looking at boxes filled with ephemera, the question is, first of all, do I have room for this? The second question is, why am I keeping this? Why am I holding on to this? And the third question is, will I ever do anything with any of this? And it just got me thinking about all of the ways we hold on to our creative energy in the hopes that we can transform it into something magical. And out of fear that if we burn it or we shred it or we let it go, that we will have let go of this masterpiece. And by letting it go, we will have missed our chance to create something truly great. So I'm going to tell a couple of stories here, and hopefully you will glean an idea of your own intention when it comes to all of the scraps of paper and ephemera that you have collected over the years. And I have boxes of journals too. I have journals from the third grade downstairs in my garage, and I am an absolute minimalist and a total, if it's not being used, it doesn't belong in the house kind of person. But I have carted those boxes across this country many, many times. I have lived in many, many states. I have lived in many, many apartments, many dorm rooms, many homes. And I bring those boxes with me wherever I go. And the question is, why? And the question is, what next? And the question is, could I really bring myself to get rid of them? Last year, a friend of mine started sending me these hilarious pictures of her journal entries from around 1998-99, where I frequented very often in her tales of, you know, going out to the bar or venting to me in a session about a boyfriend or whatever. And so she would send me these hilarious pictures of the entries of her diary. And they documented our hilarious adventures in our single girlhood, vintage clothes we scored, boyfriend woes, trips we hoped to take. She sent me pictures of us together that she had kept or collaged into the book. And she read them all, decades of worth of journals. And then she burned them. She set a bonfire and she burned them. I have another friend who recently moved out of her New York City apartment after nearly 20 years in the same apartment. And she hired one of those shredding trucks, the companies who come and get rid of old tax files and workshop materials and all of those things. And she had bags of all of that stuff that we collect, all the paperwork we collect that we probably don't need to save, you know, all of the things, you know, and we joke that, you know, the Dwayne Reed plastic bags in the bottom of our closet are filled with paper. And she took them and she deposited them in those bins, including all of her old journals. And that led me to think, should I be burning my journals or getting rid of them or having some sort of ceremony around the disappearing act of all of those words? And now to some of you, that may seem sacrilegious, right? And to some of you, it may feel like a sage burning. And the questions that ran through my head are like, do I really want my kids to know what I was doing in the 90s? Or even worse, like the late 80s when I was their age and probably shouldn't be doing anything. And that's the beauty of being Gen X, right? There's no trace of you online at those ages. I mean, do I really want them to know how I felt about their dad when I first met him? An incredibly sexy drummer I met at a bar. do I really want them to know what I feel about them sometimes? This is the question. These are the things that are in my journal, along with beginnings of stories and beginnings of poems and beginnings of ideas of screenplays or whatever creative project I've been working on. I have journals and journals filled with those things too. Now we have another friend who is an avid journal keeper since he was very young. And what he finds now that he's raising teenagers really interesting is to go back and look at those journals of the time when he was writing at that his children aren't currently. And he feels a great deal of empathy for them at that time. And he feels a great deal of understanding in it. And the memory helps him remember the fundamental idea that for your child, they are going through all of these experiences, heartbreaks or struggles in school or frustrations with friends for the first time. And it helped put him in that new state where all of these feelings can be overwhelming. And writing is the process that helps you get a handle on it, exhale a little bit, and be able to start again. So for him, keeping those journals is essential as a parent. And in this journal to keep these things or not, I'm thinking also as a writer and as an artist. I've recently watched the documentary, The Booksellers, which I highly recommend. Parker Posey produced it, and I think it's on Amazon right now. And it's about the rare book dealers in New York City. It's an amazing documentary. I really enjoyed every minute of it. But one of the closing vignettes that is in that film discusses this idea of the disappearance of the ephemera of writers, that in this tech age where we draft on computers and we write emails to editors or agents or publishers or even colleagues or our early beta readers or critique group, all of those things disappear into the ether and are not really a part of a writer's history, legacy, etc. And in that movie, The Bookseller, Susan Orlean, who wrote the library book, The Orchid Thief, brilliant, brilliant writer, she had boxed up all of her notebooks and donated them to Columbia, I think. And when she was writing a recent book, she had to go back and access her own ephemera. She had to go back and access her own legacy in order to write what she was working on now currently. And a lot of the rare book dealers were discussing how that is going to be a passing, not fad, that's not the right word, but a passing exercise in studying authors and studying literature. You're not going to have all of the letters and scraps because people are keeping more and more digitally. And there's just not a clear way to make that the artifact of art. And when I think about the letters exchanged between Virginia Woolf and her editor, or Hemingway and Fitzgerald and Perkins, like you, that's part of the storytelling. And so then it's even harder for me to think about getting rid of my own ephemera as part of my artifact. So I'm holding those two things in my hands, right? I'm holding my motherness, and my children are going to have to deal with all of my paper at some point. And also myself as an artist. It's not that I think that there's some magical idea in a scrap of paper I wrote 20 years ago. It's just the idea that that's where I've come from through all those, that practice and through all of the writing, that you come through those experiences to emerge the artist you are. And I guess the question of to burn or not to burn is, how do you use those journals or the paper scraps? How do you use that energy in your life? Is it a clearing out? Is it a catharsis? Because if that's the case, then you've been catharted and you might see the burning as a closing act. Because you're going to create again. Or is the intention of all of those scraps of paper and journals to revisit them so that you can learn about maybe an emotional difficulty you're having or maybe one of your characters is having if you're a writer? Is it to dive into a space to put you in almost a trance so you can access some of those higher level feelings you have? The way listening to music can transcend you, does going back and rereading your journals put you in a time and a place and an energy so that you can write from that space? Because those intentions are artistic intentions, and those intentions are different, right? They're different than just documenting your life. And if you burn them, then somehow your life has less meaning? I'm not sure. But I do know that to my friends who have gotten rid of all of that, there's a delicious lightening and a beginning again. And it's not as if they stopped journaling. They just moved on from those that were being collecting dust in boxes in the backs of closets and garages. And that's different than working with the words that you've put down on paper before and getting new information and new thoughts from them, new energy. There's that old story, you know, Hemingway's wife lost the manuscript on the train or left it behind, and he was devastated, and I think it caused the divorce of that particular wife. And then he goes back and he writes, you know, I believe it was Farewell to Arms. I'm not sure which book at this point, but he starts again in an even more powerful way. And it is in that letting go that you can emerge greater, right? The proverbial phoenix from the ash. But it is this idea of why are you keeping these things? What are you hoping to get from them? What kind of magic or sorcery are you hoping to conjure? And also, are they record of, hey, I was here and I made something and this is my hobby and this is my way of processing the world. And when I look at those journals, I feel a certain way about them. And I think there's no clear answer to burn or not to burn. It doesn't really matter. What matters is your intention. What matters is, what is it you want from them? What is it you're hoping to find? What is it makes you feel when you look at them? Do you want a lightening of your load? Do you want a fresh start? Plus, there's just this idea of burning a book is very, very hard to do. I mean, that's one thing in Susan Orlean's book, The Library Book. She actually does burn a book to see what it feels like. Because in this day of banned books, it's a real powerful statement, and it always has been, of course. But what is it to burn your own words? Maybe just take a page and see what it feels like. Maybe take one of those 40 journals and see what it feels like. And if it feels light, it feels like it's making room for new things and new energies, then you might think about starting again. If it feels devastating and scary, and you don't know why you did it, then it's not your time. But I do think there is power in closure. And it is in that fundamental idea that your next work isn't your best work. It's just your next work. And your last work wasn't your best work. It was just your last work. And to become detached from those feelings of best and last. And just always be thinking about what's next. I hope you're well. Keep making stuff. And I'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening to The Literary Sipper. I hope you enjoyed this episode and learned something new. If you did, please subscribe and leave a rating and review if you're feeling especially generous. Until next time, keep reading, keep writing, and keep putting your voice in the world. It's waiting for you.